But in 2 Chronicles chapter number 15, I felt led to bring a message this morning as we're finishing up the Thanksgiving season, getting ready to go into the Christmas season. And this being the ending of November, we've just come through an election, a lot of things happening in our world, in our country. And I just try to entitle this America's Path to Destruction. America's Path to Destruction. In the Word of God, here is a story that is tucked away in 2 Chronicles, one that I had been reading and studying on for some time, and hopefully it'll be a help to you this morning. But one of Israel's kings by the name of Asa, we find here in 2 Chronicles the story how that Asa brought about a great revival to the land of Israel. And then in the later years of his life, a sad ending that the nation reverted back into idolatry. Here you find in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, and begin reading in verse 1 with me, and then we'll finish this up, Lord willing, maybe next Sunday. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed. Now this was a prophet of God. And I say here in the very beginning, notice it said that the Spirit of God came upon Azariah. I'll say to you, and I'll probably repeat myself, but my friend, what we need more than anything in our country today, we don't need a stronger economy. We don't need to put more people back to work. We don't need to see the housing market take off and boom. What we need is more men of God that have the Spirit of God upon them, that are not afraid to lift up their voice and cry aloud. Because, beloved, as you and I know, that America is headed on a path to destruction. Would you say amen there? Never in the history of the United States have been poised at such a cornerstone, at such a precipice. We are headed toward destruction. You say, preacher, does that mean we need to run out and put our head in the sand? No, that means as children of God, we're children of light. This is the day we need to work. We need to do all we can. How many of you believe that God can send a revival still in America? Say amen. Amen. I believe the Bible said here in 2 Chronicles, just a few pages back, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. True healing will come not from the White House, not from Congress. It will come from men and women that love God and not ashamed to get on an altar and say, by God's help, we need to return to the old path that the founding fathers, that those men that stepped off on Plymouth Rock, those people that came over here seeking God, would to God we'd have some more people that will stand in the gap, make up the hedge. Notice, a man of God came unto the king. Verse number 2. And he went out to meet Asa. Keep that man in mind. Asa, he is the king. And said unto him, hear me, Asa. And not only does he direct his message toward Asa, but he said also unto all Judah and to Benjamin. These are tribes of Israel. He said, so the message is for the king, but it's also a message for the people. Now watch what he says. And the message that he gives is a message for you and for me. In verse number 2, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. Boy, that's not too mind-boggling, is it? He said that the Lord will be with you as long as you're with him. You believe that? Say amen. The Bible said that God has promised us that whithersoever we go, He will be with us, no matter even unto the end of the world. But now notice, here is a condition. And if you seek Him, He will be found of you. If you seek Him, that means, my friend, if with a whole heart that you go after God, as much as if I were to say to you today, there is buried treasure on this property. If I were to say to you today, there is gold bullion on this property, there'd be people out here with metal detectors, headlights on, with flashlights looking for that buried treasure. And yet, my friend, the Bible said we need to seek the Lord like we would seek buried treasure. Have that same fervency, have that same desire. Now notice as he says in verse 2 as we read on, the Lord is with you while you seek Him, and He will be found of you, but, here is the conjunction, but, if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. Will you not agree with me this morning that at one time this country was founded upon people seeking God? They came from England. And if you read any bit of history, you know that in England they had oppression. You could not worship like you wanted to worship. In England was the Church of England, the Anglican Church. They were filled full of rules and dictates. If you worked on Sunday, if you did anything on Sunday, they take you out and lock you in stocks and bonds out in the public square. The Church of England ruled. You didn't have religious freedom. They told you when you could worship, what you could worship, where to sit when you came to church, everything. And there was a group of people that said, listen, we want to go to a brand new country, a country that where we can worship God in spirit and in truth. And they set out to come to America. Thank God for them. Amen. Thank God that we have some founding fathers that said that in the Bill of Rights that we have the freedom to worship God. We have the freedom to come and sit in a church service this morning. I didn't have to get permission from the government. I didn't have to get permission from the law to come and assemble here this morning. Thank God for that. We had some people seeking God. But now notice, but if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. America's path to destruction. We have forsaken the Lord. Read on just a minute. Now for a long season, Israel had been without three things. I will touch on these and I'll not be long this morning. But the three things that Israel had been without. And he says there, they'd been out without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without the law. When they were in their trouble, they did turn unto the Lord of God of Israel and sought Him, and He was found of them. You see, God is not like us. God doesn't hold grudges. If this was us and somebody mistreated us and said, oh, please forgive me, and we forgive them, and then they mistreat us again, and they come back and said, oh, please forgive me, we said, whoa, wait a minute. I just don't know. You've tried this one time, two times. God's not that way. Every time that they sinned and they asked for forgiveness, God took them back. There's where we're at today, my friend. If my people, which are called by my name, Christian folk, if we will humble ourselves and pray and seek the face of God, I'm talking about in our fundamental, independent, Bible-believing churches, if we will turn to God today, He'll hear from heaven. We'll hear from heaven. Read on. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, He was found of them. In those days there was no peace to them that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city. For now watch this in verse 6. And I'm only going to whet your appetite, hopefully, in verse 6. For God, read this with me if you've got your Bible, good old King James. And God did what? Say it aloud. God did what? Vex them with what? Oh, adversity. My friend, it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. I believe, and if you believe the same way I believe the God of heaven is trying to get the attention of America. Say amen. I did not believe it was by chance or by accident that just a few weeks ago that Hurricane Sandy brushed up against our coast and then turned, and today, if you were to go into New Jersey, if you were to go into New York, parts of New York, their folks are still without power. They're still, I don't wish any ill fortune on anybody, but my friend, I believe the God of heaven is trying to get the attention of America. Amen. I believe God is beginning to vex the things in America. I didn't catch the news yesterday. My daughter told me on the way to church this morning, did you feel the effects of the earthquake? No, I didn't. What are you talking about? We came through Knoxville, Tennessee yesterday. We came through Black Mountain yesterday. At 6 a.m. yesterday, a 3.8 earthquake hit Knoxville, Tennessee. Not the first time. You folks remember about a year ago, felt the effects here in Ramsar, North Carolina, of an earthquake in Virginia. What's God doing? I believe God's vexing. I believe God's flexing his muscles. I believe God's trying to get the attention of America. Amen. I believe God's trying to say, hey, you'd better wake up while you can. You'd better turn back to me while you can. You'd better repent while you can, for judgment is coming. And woe be unto them that are in those days that say unto God, we have no need of thee. Oh, my friend, would to God we as Americans, we as God's people today, would see the things that's going on. Look across the water and see the catastrophes that's going on overseas. And would to God we'd return to some of the old past. Wherein is the good way? Wherein God has blessed this country? Wherein God has blessed your home? Wherein God has blessed your family? And say, oh God, we need to return to some of those old ways. Notice this man Asa for just a minute this morning. Asa, and you might want to jot some of these down. I tried to do a little studying on this. Asa's great-grandfather was wise King Solomon. Wisest man ever lived, according to the Word of God. Asa was his grandson. Now notice something here. This man Azariah, he spoke the Word of God unto Asa. And notice as he came unto this man Asa, this Asa is sitting on the throne. Asa was not brought up to be a spiritual man. His grandfather, King Solomon, at one time had served the Lord, but then in later years of life, he departed. You know the story. Solomon brought in women and brought in idolatry along with them. And then Solomon's son, Abijah, had let idol worship come in. Now notice something. I want to give you a little background in the preceding chapters, and then I'll let you go home just a little bit. One of the things that Asa's father Abijah brought in was the worship of Baal. I'm sure you've heard of him. And the worship of Asherah. Asherah was Baal's mother. Baal was supposed to be a help to the farmers. Baal was supposed to improve the crops. Azariah, A-S-H-E-R-A-H, she was a female god. Now here's what I want you to understand. There is this female god by the name of Azariah, a male god by the name of Baal. But now Baal, according to the Canaanite philosophy, was the son of Azariah. Azariah, according to their tradition, she and Baal married one another. My friend, here do you find idolatry at its highest. Here do you find a god marrying his mother. Oh, listen, my friend. And the next thing that you read about is that throughout the land there was groves of statues erected in worship of Azariah. The people worshiped these statues, and they were more or less poles, totem poles you might say, that were carved out, but they were places of idolatry and places of immorality. Sexual perversiveness was prevalent through all the country. I mean, friend, listen, whatever felt good, they did it. It was sexual freedom My friend, it's like America today. Turn on the television, go on the internet. Wherever you look today, there is sexual permissiveness and sexual immorality prevailing today in our culture. Did you ever think that our government would ever endorse a homosexual lifestyle? But our country has done that. My friend, we're headed on a path of destruction. But here's the other thing I want you to hear, and then we'll let you go just a bit. Not only did they worship the god Baal and they worship the god Azariah, but they worship also a god called Molech. I cannot fathom this, Sister Gail, but Molech was a god that required an infant sacrifice. It was a god that head was made like a bull, had horns like a bull, and body like a man, and was fashioned out of brass with outstretched arms like this. In its belly was a hollow cavity in which they would take wood and stuff it in there and heat that brazen altar unto Molech. Here was this, if you could imagine. Here was a god that the Israelites worshiped. A god that the Israelites had been brought out of Egypt, but here is a god now, head like a bull, body like a man, a cavity that was open, stuffed with wood, heated till the brass was red hot. Then it was required that the parents would take a child, and with those red hot arms, they would take that baby and lay it on the arms of Molech. As soon as that baby was laid on the arms of Molech, its screams began to cry out. Here was a baby that was being tortured. Here was a baby that's being offered up to this heathen god. Here was a baby that was on the brazen arms of this heathen god. And the parents would hear the screams of their own infant as it radiated through the atmosphere. And the priest would beat the drums and louder and louder and louder to screams. You say, how in the world could a parent do that? My friend, we're seeing that today. Parents across our country are giving their children over to the devil today. We need some mothers and daddies that'll say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That was the day they lived in. I'm going to give you this, the promise of God, verse number 2. We'll come back and fill it in later. The Lord said, I'll be with you as long as you're with me. As long as you seek me, I will be with you. There's not anywhere you can go that I'll not go with you. There's not any problem you'll ever face you'll have to face alone. As long as you're with me, I'll be with you. But if you forsake me, I'll forsake you. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 12 says, then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And if you seek me and find me, when you shall search with me with all of your heart, God has promised he'll be with us every step of the way. How many by an amen would say this morning, preacher, I need God every step of the way? Would you say amen? Amen. My friend, if you think you can do it on your own, if you think that life can, if you can work out the problems in your life all by themselves, it'll all fall to pieces. If you think you can make your finances work, it'll all fall to pieces. If you think you can make your health work, it'll all fall to pieces. We need the Lord every step of the way. Without Him, we're doomed for failure. What have we happened in America? At one time we had folks that would cling to the promises of God, that would fill the church houses. My friend, I'm not being critical today. Thank God you're here. But I would guarantee you there's folk today that are not in the house of God. Christian folk, they call themselves Christian, but they don't come to the house of God. They've forsaken the Lord. They've turned their back on God. They think they can do it on their own. They're relying upon their own strength. Honey, I got news for you. You need the Lord in your life. You need God in your marriage. You need God in your home. You need God in your business. You need God in your life. Without Him, we will fail every time. So it was with these. There are three problems. Notice number two, there's a problems that Israel faced. I'll give them to you this morning. Three problems. Number one, first of all, for a long time, Israel had been without a true God. They'd been without a true God, like America. It's amazing to me that in America, isn't it amazing? I don't know about you, but if you leave the Bible Belt, thank God, and some of you probably have never gotten outside of North Carolina, and I thank God for the privilege of being able to see and travel some. Now, I haven't done a whole lot, but I got news for you. When you leave the Bible Belt, it is a different world. A different world. We stood at the mission last Saturday. And the kids, when y'all were there this summer, if you will remember, right down below the mission, there were some old buildings and just some old dilapidated, but all that has been cleared off. There's construction going on. There's a building going up. And Brother Nelson said, see what's happened since you've been out here. And I thought maybe they were building something for the mission. I said, what are y'all building? He said, oh, it's not us. But he said, the Baha temple is going in there. The Muslim temple, right there. It's amazing. You leave from there and you drive down the road and the Mormons have a huge church. You leave there and you go over and you see the cults. And you see there, you say, where's the Bible preaching churches? There are very, very few. What's happened to America? At one time in America, we had the true God. I mean, listen, folk would never, ever think about worshiping anything else but the true and living God. But now, my friend, today, you realize that Christianity is becoming one of the minor religions in America. Does anybody know what the major growing religion in America is? Islam. And in a few short years, they will be the dominant force in America. At one time, they had the true God, but they've departed. Number two, the second thing is that they departed from a teaching priest. The Bible said there in verse number four, but in verse number three, for a long time Israel had been without a true God. Number two, without a teaching priest. Without a teaching priest. Paul warned us that in the last days, for the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. He went on to say, or John did in the book of Revelation, that a characteristic of the last days of the church of the Laodiceans, and the Laodicean means to please the people. Where the old time preachers that used to stand, I'm talking about preachers like Mays and preachers like Billy Kelly and men of God that used to stand and cry out and lift up their voice like a trumpet. Where are those men today, my friend? We've been without some good old fashioned preaching for a long time. Amen. A teaching priest, number three, the testimony of the law. Looking, the Bible said the third thing, they'd been without the law. Israel had neglected God's word. Look, if you would, chapter 17 for just a minute, verse 9. And I'm going to let you go here. Look in verse 9. And I got to come back and fill in the blanks, but they did have a revival. They had a barn burner of a revival. But look in verse 9. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and they went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. My, my, my. What a day that would be. Here that they took the Bible, they took the Word of God, and they went out to a city, they went out to a village, and they not heard the Bible, they not heard the preaching, they not heard the things of God, and they gathered the people around and they sent them down and they taught them the law of the Lord, and they went out through all the cities and taught all the people, and the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms. I still believe that God can send a revival. I don't I don't necessarily know if it'll be a national revival like it used to be, like in the days of Billy Sunday, and you'd see thousands and thousands. But I do believe this, that pockets across America, God can send revival. God can send revival. How many of you saw on the news, or not the news, but 60 Minutes, October the 28th, on Sunday night, the little piece about Ashburn and Ramseur? Anybody see that? Raise your hand high. You saw that? And what did they say about Ashburn and Ramseur? They said that is, in my words, two of the most devastated areas in North Carolina. Two of the areas where folks are laid off and jobs are scarce. And you that live here, as well as I live in Rockingham County, and unemployment in Rockingham County is about 10%. You'd say amen to that, wouldn't you? But wouldn't it be something? Just think about it. Little Ramseur made the national news. Why? Because they said jobs and the lack of growth and everything else. But wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be something if this little pocket of people, that if we were to get on fire for God, and we would make national news across America that said there's a little group of people down yonder at Harmony Baptist, and they'd come up to and they'd interview, "Miss Joanne Hill, can you tell us what's going on?" "Why, there's a revival going on down here." "Yeah, Mr. Robbins, can you tell us a little bit about your church?" "Why, there's a revival going on down here at Harmony Baptist." Wouldn't it be something if we could just see America shaken because a group of people believe God? They got us on there for the lack of jobs. Praise God, they could get us on there for a spirit of revival. If my people, if my Harmony Baptist, if my Christian people, if my Baptist people, if my Christian folks, if Bible believers, if they'll, while we're there, turn back to 2 Chronicles 7:14, you read it for yourself, but watch it here. If you don't know it, read it. Write it down, memorize it. Here it is. 2 Chronicles 7:14, just a few pages back. If my people, you and me, which are called by my name, Christians, not religious people, Christians, shall what? Humble themselves. Get on your knees. There's enough space around this altar. We can move this table out of the way. We can move the Christmas tree out of the way. We can get around this altar. If we fill the altar up, we'll start on the front pew and then that pew. And we fill them up, we'll start on the second and the third pew. And we'll go all the way back until everybody's on their knees. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. And what? Not lollygag around. No, sir. Not play games. Not be entertained. Not get together for a basketball game. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But if my people shall pray and what? Seek my face. What did he say? He said, as long as you seek me, you'll find me. As long as you hunger after me. Some of you right now hadn't had breakfast, and some of you, your stomachs are growling, and some of you say, "Boy, I wish you'd hurry up and finish. I want to get out to my lunch. I want to go out to the cafeteria. I'll get home to the pot of beans I got." If we would seek God like we'd seek after food, watch what he said. And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And that means giving up some things. That means cleansing your mouth for some things. That means throwing away some magazines and books and movies and different things. And cleanse my wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. America is on a path to destruction. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. Who's going to stop it? Congress can't. The White House can't. The government cannot. But you and I can.